Praise God. We've heard so much about God today that my faith has just soared. Praise God. And I feel like that God can just do anything, don't you?
Right.
Praise God. My soul has been so blessed. And this old song come to my mind. And it's an old one. It's been around a long time. Like Jim and I, we've been around a long time. We like these older songs. And if you know this, I want you to join in with us and help us sing it. It's entitled, God is Everywhere. Believe that? He's right here at Elko tonight. Praise God. Praise God. You ask me how I know where God is found, why people trust Him so, the world around. Just read the good old book.
Water.
God walks the lonesome valley. He walks every hill, every valley, every mountain of your life. And everywhere in between, whether you're going up or going down, He's with you. He is with you. Amen. Marty, testify, bub.
It's good to be here. I've enjoyed the day, enjoyed the preaching today. Wonderful preaching. It's just amazing when you hear messages like that, you realize how much God really loves you. And I'm so glad He loves me. And there's a little song, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do." And I'm so glad of that. To think that He will love someone so little as I, that is amazing. And that shows you how great He is, how big He is. I am nobody, yet He loves me, and I'm so glad for that. It's good to be here. I'm enjoying the services. Good to be with y'all. God bless you.
Play that old-time religion, Marty. Makes a difference, the old-time religion. I asked Marty, I said, "What do you have on your heart to sing tonight?" And he said, "What about Only Child?" It goes along with Brother Oakley's message and Brother Baker's message and Brother Houston's message. So we'll try to sing it for you. He loves you tonight just like you were His only child. Sing it along with us. Our Father has a great big family, many other children besides me. If you're wondering how He divides His time, just let me say I've never stood in line. He loves me like I was His only child. I've never felt so love before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was His only child. God really loves me.
Thank you, Father.
Yes, He really loves me. He loves me like I was His only child. He really loves me like I was His only child. I've never felt so loved before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was His only child. God really loves me.
Thank God.
Yes, He really loves me. He loves me like I was His only child. He never favors me above the rest. Oh, but I have to say that I'm so blessed, so much greater than the rest. I've often said, but don't forget, Jimmy,
all God's children feel that way. Oh, He loves me like I was His only child.
He loves you tonight.
I've never felt so loved before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was His only child. God really loves me. Yes, He really loves me. He loves me like I was His only child.
Every now and then at our house, Mama gets us mixed up. She'll holler for Marty and she'll mean me. Or she'll holler for me and mean Marty. She's only got two boys and she gets us mixed up every now and then. But can you imagine how many folks, how many guys that loves the Lord, serves God, that has Jimmy for a name? Got Jimmy Dan here, Jimmy John, got Jimmy Ratcliffe. Do we have any other Jimmys here tonight? Got Jimmy Adams standing right here. Got any other Jimmys here? Usually when you got another Jimmy Ratcliffe right here. Isn't it amazing? And can you imagine all of us praying to God at one time? How mixed up we get if we had that many Jimmys hollering at one time. Jesus, I need you. Yet when I say Jesus, it seems like I can hear His voice say, Jimmy John, what do you want, son? I don't know how He does it, but He does it. I want to sing this first verse like this. You could use your name. It doesn't matter what name it is. My Father has a great big family with many other Jimmys besides me. But if you're wondering how He divides His time, just let this Jimmy say, hey, I never stood in line, because He loves me like I was His only child. Thank God. I've never felt so loved before. I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was His only child. God really loves me. Yes, He really loves me. He loves me like I was His only child.
Sing it again with us tonight.
Oh, He loves me like I was
like you're His only child. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing,
I never felt so
Jesus loves you.
I can never ask for more. He loves me like I was His only child. God really loves me. Yes, He really loves me. He loves me like I was His only child.
Lift your hands and praise Him. We love You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. I read about a couple that went to adopt a little boy. They got there. They was a well-to-do couple and could provide anything the little fella needed for happiness and fun. So they sat down with him, began to try to get acquainted with the little fella. They began to explain to him all the things they had for him. This was a couple that had been planning for an adoption, and they had the room fixed, had the toys there. All they was doing was waiting for the occupant. And so they went through all the things that they had for him, saved up, prepared for him, waiting for him. And the little fella said, that all sounds good, but that's not really what I'm looking for. And they said, son, what are you looking for? He said, all I'm looking for is somebody to love me. I'm here to tell you, if you're looking for somebody to love you tonight, no matter what you've done, where you've been, I'm here to introduce you to Jesus Christ. He loves you. Mother may have forsook you. Dad may have forsook you. Everyone else may have gave up on you, but He hasn't. He hasn't. I've heard of Christians giving up on people that Jesus didn't. I mean, I've heard of folks being cut off by the church or the pastor or some evangelist that got saved later. Jesus doesn't give up on you. People might. Jesus don't. His love reaches, and it's reaching all the way to this service tonight. All the way. My, I feel the presence of the Lord here in such a special way. I tell you what, folks, I feel so small. You could have got a lot more experienced preacher in a lot of various different places, but you couldn't have got one that's more thankful to be here. I am so thankful for the privilege and the opportunity. Take your Bible to John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. I'd like to speak to you just for a few minutes about He knows where you are. He knows where you are. Lift your hand toward heaven tonight and ask the Lord to grace and honor and crown this service with an altar service. Lord, I'm nothing. I can do nothing without you. I come to you humbly tonight to bring this message that you have gave to me. Lord, I pray help me to deliver it. Give me clarity of thought, clarity of mind. Most of all, your Spirit, your anointing that destroys the yoke. Bless each heart, each hearer. Lord, I feel like this message is for someone in this service tonight. I'm believing you to confirm your word. I know your word says that it will not return void, that it will accomplish that which it was sent to do. And I am standing on that word tonight, standing on that promise. In Jesus' name, move across this congregation. Those that have made the sacrifice to come and be with us here at Elko Camp in 2003 on July the 1st. Bless, touch, and endue us, Lord, with your sweet presence and spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. I love the omniscience of our Savior. We talk a lot about His omnipotence, all-powerful. We talk about His omnipresence. He's everywhere. But He's also all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows to the minutest detail about your life, your day, your month, your week, your year. He knows right where you are. He's got your phone number. He's got your Social Security number. He's got your address. He knows what state you're from. He knows exactly where you are. In this passage of Scripture, there says that there was by Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, near the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. Bethesda means the house of pity or mercy. And when you've got something wrong and you're desperate, that's where you want to be, is in a house of mercy.
in a house of pity. And in this place, there was five porches. They had built covering. They had built a shelter to protect these precious folk that was blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water to protect them from the elements. They're still good people in this world. Say what you want to. Be negative if you want to. I choose to be positive. There is still good people in this world. As was then, as is now. They had prepared a place. At this pool, there began to be a visitation, a moving of the water at certain seasons. And whosoever among those halt and maimed and withered, that little group of folks, or large group of folks, says multitude, was there, the first one that dipped their finger or their toe or their foot or just dive in, the first one was made completely whole. I have looked at commentaries and studied about this, and we could get bogged down in the facts and into the speculation about this, and I'm not going to do that, Lord willing. But it simply seems to me, by studying this out, there was a period of 400 years between the last prophesying prophet Malachi in the Old Testament until the angelic visit to Zechariah, until the angelic visit to Mary and to Joseph, and brought about that great, great, great time in history when Jesus Christ was born. Don't know exactly when, but God began to send an angel down to this pool near the temple in Jerusalem and to stir the water and to bring about healing for the nation of Israel. Though there was no open vision, though there was no open prophecy, though there was a dry spell that had lasted 400 years. We're talking about getting tired of a 2-week dry spell. What about a 400-year dry spell? We get complaining and griping and all upset because we don't feel God every service just like we want Him. How would you like to live in that day when 400 years passed and nothing really seemed to be happening? But then all of a sudden God let the children of Israel know, I've not forgot you. I know where you are. I know it's been 400 years since I've really spoken to you openly and given to you a vision through a great prophet. But I'm getting ready to send you the prophet. I'm getting ready to send you the Messiah. I'm getting ready to send you the great physician. And I want to let you know that I'm still on the throne. I'm going to begin to stir the water. Thank God for the privilege that we have. That it may not be exactly like we would like it to be, but He still stirs the water every now and then. He still sends the wind of His Spirit to touch and move in our life and in our heart. At this certain season, this angelic visit came, and they begin to jump into the water and put their finger into the water and to jump into that place of healing and mercy and grace and pity. But for 38 long years, this man had been left out of the blessing. He had been left out of the mercy. He had been left out of this privilege because there was no man there to help him. 38 years. That's a long, long time to be sick, to be afflicted, to be suffering from an infirmity. That is a long, long time. But he did not give up. He did not go home. He continued to stay right where there was hope. And that's what you must do when it seems like things is not going your way. Stay where the hope is. Stay where the mercy is. Stay at the door of heaven. Because one of these days, the visitation, the times of refreshing, is going to come from the presence of the Lord. And when it comes, I want Him finding me at the very feet of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. 38 years. Now I want you to follow with me if you will. You can throw this away if you don't like it, but just follow me just a little while, just some thoughts that I have had. 38 years. Jesus Christ began His ministry at the age of 30. His ministry lasted from 30 until He was 33 and a half approximately. So if you will subtract 38 years of this man's sickness, this man came down with this infirmity 5 years before Jesus Christ was born. He was sick. He was afflicted.
He was infirmed. He was reaching for hope. He was reaching for mercy. But he was falling short of it day by day, year by year, season by season. 5 long years passed. Then the news began to spread. Behold, in the city of David is born a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. I kind of wonder if it didn't spring up some hope in the little man's heart. He continued on to live and to abide at the pool of Bethesda. Jesus now, by Luke chapter 2, is 12 years old. His parents has brought him to Jerusalem for him to be inducted into Judaism, to become an official member of the Jewish religion. He is there. He's looking around at all the splendor, all the history, all the things that he is a part of. The city of David, the place where David lived and was crowned as king of all the nation of Israel. He looked around. And I believe, if you'll follow me here, as he went around Jerusalem, I believe Mary probably took him by the hand and said, "Now, son, I want to take you to a special place in Jerusalem." She takes Jesus by the hand and walks him down to the pool of Bethesda. And she begins to walk among all those impotent folks and all the halt and the maimed and the blind. And she begins to say, "Jesus, son, these folks are helpless. These folks are waiting on the moving of the water. At a certain season in the year, the angelic visit comes and stirs the water. And the first one into the water is made completely whole. Jesus, my son, this is a very special place in Jerusalem. I consider it more special than even the temple in Jerusalem. Because the last few years, God's been visiting this place. The blind is leaving here seeing. The lame is leaving here walking. The lepers is leaving here clean. Listen, Jesus, I want you to remember this place." He goes to the temple. His family returns home. They suppose he's with the kinfolks. He's left behind. And they begin to look for him. They went a day's journey. It took 3 days to find him. But where did they find the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient Son of God? She found him. Joseph found him in the temple about his father's business. The Bible says that he was answering questions and he was asking questions. Kind of reminds me of that black preacher I love to hear preach. He said one of them scribes probably spoke up and said, "Little boy, where are you from and where do you live?" He said, "Well, on my mama's side, I live at Nazareth. But on my daddy's side, my address is heaven." "Little boy, do you ever get thirsty?" "Yes, I do on my mama's side. But on my daddy's side, I'm the water of life." "Little boy, do you ever get hungry?" "On my mama's side, I do. But on my daddy's side, I'm the bread of life." Follow me. Continue to follow me. I believe as Jesus looked around that pool of Bethesda, I believe his eyes was being awakened. I believe his heart was being awakened. I don't know when he come to the knowledge of who exactly he was. I know that he was a baby and was bounced on Joseph's knee. I'm sure he did not understand exactly what he had come to do and what was born to do. But there came that awakening in that young man's life. Jesus. He began to realize who he was. Mama began to say that he was virgin born. Mama began to tell him that an angel told her that she was going to have a child and he was to call his name Jesus. He would save his people from their sins. Joseph told him how he saw a dream and told him, "Don't you fear to take Mary, thou espoused wife. That which is born of her shall be called the Son of God." I don't know when it all happened, but I do know that it did happen. I do know at the age of 12, he was astounding the doctors and the lawyers at the temple, answering and asking questions. I believe he began to see and know who he was, but his time was not yet. I believe that as he walked away from the pool of Bethesda, I can just hear Jesus say, "I'll be back. I'll be back." 12 years old. At the age of 12, this man had now been there 17 years. 17 years of failure, 17 years of being that close and yet not reaching it. I wonder tonight if somebody here in this service, you've been so close to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You've been so close to that sanctification power and working in your spirit. You've been so close to reaching that goal. So close to doing what you feel like God wants you to do. I want you to know Jesus knows where you are. He knows what's going on. He knows the situation in your life. I'm here to encourage you tonight, Jesus. No! Knows where you are. 21 years has now passed. Jesus is 30. This man has been now there 38 years. Jesus begins his ministry. He begins to heal the sick, make the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, the deaf to hear. He begins to walk the Sea of Galilee, the shores of Galilee, the roads of Palestine and Israel, and to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. Healing the sick, feeding the multitudes, giving the Beatitudes. Everywhere he went, he was doing good. But by the time John 5 rolled around at this feast of Pentecost, he has a date with the pool of Bethesda. I wonder that if he thought to himself, I wonder if the man is still there. It's been 21 years since I've visited that place. I wonder if that man that has fell so short all this time is still there. He casually, privately, without anybody knowing, takes him a little walk down to the pool of Bethesda. No one knew who he was. He begins to look around. All of a sudden, he sees the man right down by the pool of water. 21 years has passed. He looks much weaker. He looks much frailer. You realize the longer it goes, the weaker you get. You may feel like Jesus has forgotten where you are. But he knows exactly right where you are. 21 years is nothing to Christ. He knows exactly right where you are. He spots him down there by the pool. Begins to make his way over slowly. I can hear him as he talks to himself. I can hear Jesus say, the man don't know it, but I'm back. The man doesn't know it, but this is his last day at the pool of Bethesda. I think there's some of you doesn't know just how close you are to the victory that Jesus has for you. This man is his last day. He doesn't have to wait for a season. I'm instant in season and out of season. He doesn't need a season. He needs a Savior. And I'm here. They asked a black African native preacher what he thought about John chapter 5, first 10 verses. He said, I can give it to you in one sentence. The man said that he did not have a man. And Jesus walked up and said, sir, I am your man. He walks up to the man and doesn't even tell him who he is. Doesn't introduce himself. He just simply says, will thou be made whole? The man didn't even know who he was talking to when he said, sir, I have no man to put me in the pool. Others jumps in before me. I don't have a mother. I don't have a daddy. I don't have a cousin, brother, sister. I don't have a friend to help me into this pool. I don't have nobody. But Jesus said, sir, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the Word of God says, that's fast enough for this, okay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Immediately he picked up his bed, threw that thing over his shoulder. Now the thing that held him, now the thing that had bound him, has now become his testimony. Everywhere he went, he was carrying his bed. What you doing? I was at the pool of Bethesda 38 long years, but now I'm free. I'm set free by Jesus Christ. He first come when he was 12. He remembered me. 21 years later, he remembered me. He knows right where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. But He knows exactly right where you are. There was a man in Ohio who was preaching a revival. He came to our revival service. I didn't know that he was battling and struggling. His wife had left him. He had took his Bible down and read out of Mark chapter 1 about the leper that had come to Jesus and fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole." And Jesus said, "I will be thou made clean." He was reading that very day. And he said, "Lord, you know the situation that I am in. You know the circumstances that I'm in. I feel like this leper. I'm coming to you and I'm falling at your feet. I know that you can if you will." He said, "Lord, if you're really concerned about me, would you let somebody preach on this text real soon?" That day God spoke to me and said, "Jimmy, I want you to preach out of Mark chapter 1 about the leper." That night I opened up my Bible and began to read. The folks that was watching him said the tears welled up in his eyes, begin to flow down his cheeks. When I made the altar call that night, he fell into the altar, weeping and crying and bawling like a baby. You say you're bragging on yourself? No, no, I'm bragging on Jesus. Jesus knew where that man was. I said Jesus knew where that man was. I didn't even know his name. I didn't know what was going on in his life. But Jesus did. He knows what you're going through tonight. Just at Granite City a few days ago, a young man from Brother Fouts' church up in Indiana, on his way riding with the youth group. If I get this right, Brother Fouts, he told his youth group, "Why is it so hard to do what's right? Why is it such a struggle?" He was asking the question, "Why is it such a struggle?" The Lord spoke to me before I ever went to the youth camp at Granite City and told me, said, "Jimmy, I want you to preach on why the struggle." God answered that little boy, young man's question, why we struggle trying to do what's right. Listen, friend, God knows right where you are tonight, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're facing. When I was being dealt with to preach, I used to ride my Honda 50 all over this campground. We held a revival here in 1978. I had a Honda 50 with two gears forward, wheels about that long, go 21 miles an hour, wide open. I rode all over these sidewalks, up and down these sidewalks. One of the most favorite places I ever preached a revival. Mom and Dad preached a revival before. I had my Honda 50. I rode and I rode and I rode. I'd ride all the way up to the cemetery and I'd come all the way back down. I'd get Marty on there and ride all the way back up to the cemetery and come back down. I come back down one day and I said, "Daddy, let's take the muffler off. I think it'll sound good up that hill." So Dad gets the little Honda 50, gets his tools out. Thank God for Daddy like I got. Took the muffler off. Pop, 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 pop all the way up the hill. We left the muffler off the rest of the week. I wonder what the neighbors thought. I remember us before the siding was on here, so I come over here and park my 50 right out there, and I come down there and opened up one of them louvers and looked in. I thought, wonder what kind of folks have camp meeting here. That was 1978. That was 25 years ago. I looked in one of them louvers back there and wondered, what kind of folks has camp meeting here? I wonder what kind of services they have here. I was having fun, but God was dealing with my heart. I was interested in the things of God. I turned 11 years old, and the Lord dealt with me and spoke to me and said, "I want you to preach my gospel." I ran from it as hard as I could run. I was ready to have a house without wheels on it. I was ready to have something that didn't shake with every bump in the road and every wind that blew. I was ready to do something different. I was ready to have a goat and a dog and some animals and some pets. Y'all are laughing at me, but that's exactly the way it was. Mom and Dad was preaching one day, pastoring, and I got me a Siamese cat, one of them pretty blue-eyed ones. Pretty thing. Dad said, "We're going to go back out on the evangelistic field. You're going to have to get rid of the old Siamese cat." I said, "Oh, no. Lord, I can't give her up. I can't give her up." I said, "Lord, you're going to have to do something to help me." And she got run over. Be careful how you pray. I wish I hadn't been so stubborn. I at least could have gave her away. I still feel bad that the old cat had to die so that I could feel good about evangelizing again. Listen, friend, don't say no to God. It'll cost you a whole lot. I know that's funny, but it'll cost you more than just a pretty Siamese cat. It'll cost you a whole lot if you don't obey God. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at Pembroke, Georgia, at Brother Lawrence Butler's church. When a mom and dad's revival, I turned to loose, obeyed God, singing a song, and the Holy Ghost fell upon me. Brother Duck was in front of me. Brother Butler was behind me. I'd never shouted through my teenage years. But now all of a sudden, my feet turned to loose of the floor, and I've been a shouting ever since. You that know me, there's a lot of the Ferris family knows me from way, way back. Remember how bashful that I was. I'm telling you, I couldn't hardly say a word in front of nobody. I would get up saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Want to make heaven my home. Pray for me on the way up and on the way down. You wanted something short for testimony? Get me. Something short for prayer request? Get me. When my voice changed, I quit singing. I got tired of yodeling. I didn't want them girls to hear me squeaking and a squawking. If I couldn't sound like a boy, I sure wanted to sound like a man. I didn't want to sound like a girl. So I quit singing. I was backward. I was bashful. But God knew where I was. He knew what was facing. He knew what He wanted to do with me. It was years and years before I ever surrendered to the call. But in 1987, I cried out to God, Lord, I'll do anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll be what You want me to be. Little did I know in 1978, when I looked through that louver, 25 years later, I'd get to preach this meeting. Hey, friend, you're sitting there thinking God doesn't care. You're sitting there thinking that God doesn't have a plan. Hang on. Buckle your seatbelt tonight. God's got a plan for your life. He knows where you're at. He knows where you're sitting. He knows where you're waiting. He knows. He knows. Hallelujah. He knows. Thank God. He knows. We took our 1984 Mercury Topaz down to a blacksmith to have our tow bar welded together onto the car. He was a black blacksmith man. Mr. Duffy, deacon in Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Poto, Oklahoma. A godly man, old man in his 80s at that time. We got over there and got the car there and got the parts there, laid it all out. He got his welding helmet. Took him a long time to get down on the ground. Got down there and got situated. I love to hear him talk. Got down there and started welding. He tacked that piece on there and he got up. He quit. I thought, man, it took forever to get down here. What you getting up for? Lays his welding helmet. Sets up. Take a preacher seat there on the blacktop. Pushes his little welding hat off and holds it in his hand, puts it back on his head, and adjusts his glasses. Looks over at me, sitting there about 3 foot from him. Points that long, black, callous finger at me and said, son, when are you going to obey God? Didn't even know my name. God spoke to me to tell you that today. God knows right where you're waiting. Hang on! He slowly turned around, did not say another word, put his welding helmet back on, maneuvered his way down there, and tears was in my eyes. I'm telling you, my vision blurred, and that night I couldn't wait to get back to my little twin bed at Poto so I could kneel down beside the bed and say, God, there's not a way in the world that man knew anything about me. He doesn't know that You're dealing with me. That had to be You. I cannot question it. I cannot doubt it. I surrender to Your call. God knows where you are tonight. Marty, as you come to the piano, I'm a reaching for you. I said, I'm a reaching for you. You say it feels like God's forsook you. That's exactly right. It feels that way. It's not that way. I said, it's not that way. It's just the way you feel. Oh, God, reach out of that heart and life tonight. I don't know who you are. Don't know your name, but God does. Don't know your phone number, but God does. Don't know your address, but God does. He knows right where you are. I've had some experiences in my ministry already that if nothing ever else happens in my life, I can feast off of them until I go home. In Portland, Maine, in a convention we were preaching, there was a mentally handicapped young man sitting with his family about the third row back where this family is right here. He had been reading his Bible. He could not believe the Lord had saved him. He come running into the kitchen where his mom was cooking, and he had a Bible open. He opened it up, and he turned there where John had baptized Jesus. A voice spoke from heaven as he read and said, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." With his broken English and mentally handicapped mind, he said, "Mama, if God would speak to me and tell me that I'm his son, then I'll believe." Scorned, he had enough mentality to realize that he was different. Had enough mentality to realize that no one else understood him. Realized that he was not going to fit in. And he didn't think he fit in with God either. That night I preached about the love of God, Brother Oakley. And he come to the pulpit and he stood there with hands raised and tears flowing down his cheeks. And God spoke to me. Said, "Go put your arm around him. Whisper in his ear that he's God's son." I mean, it hit me like that. Something unusual. Usually don't do anything like that. I walked over to him. Put my arm around him. I said, "Son, God told me to tell you that you are God's son and that he loves you." It startled me what happened. He went to jumping as high as he could jump. I was standing on the stage. He was a tall boy, a little bit taller than me. His head was reaching higher than my head on the stage. He was jumping so high. He jumped and he jumped and he jumped, and then he jumped backwards and he turned around and he ran for his mother. Wrapped around his arms around his mom and said, "Mama, God just spoke to me. Told me I was his son." I'm telling you, God knows where you are. So we all stand tonight. God knows where you're waiting. I feel like telling somebody, he's back. He's back. Jesus told his disciples, "I'm a leaving, but I'm a coming again." He's coming back. And not only is he coming back in the rapture form for the church, but he's here tonight for you. I said he's here for you. I said he's here for you. He knows what's going on in this section. He knows who's sitting right here. He knows who's sitting in this section. He knows who's sitting. Boys, God's got a plan for every one of your life. He knows where you're waiting. He knows where you're waiting. God's got a plan for you, son. He's got a plan for you. Brandon, God's going to use you, buddy. You too. He knows who's in this section, what you're going through. This is our seasoned citizen section right here. Sister Mayberry, he knows right where you are. I tell you what, I love our seasoned Christians. I've had so many of them tell me, "It seems like I'm on a shelf." You're not on no shelf. We got you on display, Sister Mayberry. We got you on display. God knows right where you're at. I want you to gather into this altar tonight. Every young person, every adult, I want you that are struggling with God's will for your life, you that are struggling with what to do in your future, I want you to come. Backslider, if you're here tonight, God knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. He knows right where you are. He's back! You say, "I've been touched by him a long time ago." He's here again. He's here again. come. Everyone that will, please come tonight. This is the most important part of the service. This is when you make your decision. This is when you make your choice tonight. You don't know how close you are to victory. Jesus could be standing right by you, asking you right now, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole?
God has a plan.
God has got a plan. I can hear Jesus say at the age of 12, I can't do anything right now, but I'll be back.
He sees your heart.
The time is not right, but I'll be back. You can trust Him, brothers and sisters. You can trust Him with your life, Pastor. The time may not be right, preacher, brother. But don't worry, He'll be back.
God has a plan.
He'll be back, He'll be back.
For you.
You may not understand, but don't worry, He'll be back. It may be 38 years coming, but He'll be back.
He knows the step you take.
He has not forgot. I believe He's a walking around this altar tonight. He's a looking over this crowd. He's looking for that certain one, that special one that needs His help. Yield to Him, brothers.
He knows your deepest thoughts.
to Him tonight, saints. Tears is a language God understands. Tears are a language God understands.
He knows the step you take.
He knows right where you are tonight. He knows what you're facing, what you're going through.
Your life was in His hands.
Hold on a little longer. Get a firmer grip. That pool of Bethesda. He's coming back.
He knows each step you take, and He knows your deepest thoughts. Before you breathe your first breath, your life was in His hands. I know God has.
Jesus knows. Jesus knows right where you are. Thank you.
my journey home when the road is rough and long and I feel so all alone. When my strength is all gone and I can't carry on, that's when Jesus is all that I need. Jesus is all I need. Jesus is all I need. I need no other friend. I need
reverent to them, and you're dismissed. You're welcome to concessions and go over and join and have some fun together. We'd appreciate that tonight. Isn't God good? Amen. Again, I ask you to be reverent for those praying. And if you'd like to go visit and have a good time and fellowship, just go over in the kitchen.